WBUR, New York. Bernie and Sid in the morning. Talk Radio 77.
Little respect. Funny, there's a column in today's New York Post talking about how the rest of the NBA actually has a newfound respect for the New York Knicks. That's actually a column in today's paper. I don't think Aretha Franklin wrote and sang that song about the Knicks, but just to make it relevant to what's going on today. Because even though that song was a huge hit, I'm not a huge fan of it. There is a column in today's New York Post. The NBA has a newfound respect for the Knicks. And the Knicks, if you don't know this already, we'll talk about it all morning. John Starks, all-time great New York Knick, will join us at 8:40. They had to have three things happen this weekend to end up with the four seed. What that means is home playoff games at Madison Square Garden. That doesn't happen here in America. Not for a long time. It happened, I think, 7 years ago. That's been it, like once in 20-something years. The Knicks had to win both of their games against the Hornets and the Celtics, and the Milwaukee Bucks had to beat the Miami Heat on Saturday. Well, all three things happened. The Knicks beat the Celtics yesterday 96-92, and they're the four seed. Now, again, Vegas had the Knicks win total over-under at 22 to start the season. There was only one team in the NBA that was expected to win less games than the Knicks, and the Knicks won 40. They're the four seed. They're going to host the Atlanta Hawks, first round of the playoffs. So we'll talk about all the terrible things going on in New York City and across America today. But the Brooklyn Nets are the two seed, and the New York Knicks are the four seed. So this amazing basketball town, the greatest basketball city in America, 2 days after Mike Breen was enshrined in the Naismith Hall of Fame, the great Mike Breen, basketball was well represented in the playoffs this year in New York City. Bang! There you go, Mike. Congratulations. I did speak to Mike via text yesterday. That's really Bernie's boy. You and Mike go back even longer than me and Mike go back, way longer.
Are we really going to talk about this all morning?
All morning, just Knicks. That's it.
Can I leave now?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll see you later.
Are we really going to talk about Andrew Cuomo all morning? Or Joe Biden all morning? I mean, every once in a while, there are some things that you should be happy about. This is hard, I know. I know you hate the NBA. So I hate some of the players, too.
No, I don't.
But it's a New York celebration.
I do not hate the NBA.
You don't hate the NBA?
No.
You hate the players?
No, I just don't feel like talking about it all morning. Well, I mean, it's nice. Congratulations, they won. That's fantastic. It's beautiful.
And that's it?
And good for Penn Station. Good for Mike Breen. I texted with him yesterday myself.
But now what?
But I mean, the Knicks made the playoffs. Let's see what happens. What's there to talk about? Who's gonna play?
We're not gonna break down the games. We don't do that here on this show. We're not WFAN. But certainly, when the Knicks do something they've only done once in 20-something years, and it's a good thing for the city. Instead of talking about something negative, which we do all day every day, I think it's nice to start with something positive. Then we can get to the
stuff. We can start with it. Yeah, but we're not gonna talk about it all morning.
No, we're gonna have John Starks on at 8:40.
I thought I heard you say we're gonna talk about it all morning.
No.
Well, I got to get one of those Phonak lyrics. I thought that's what I thought I heard you say.
No, never said that. Even FAN won't do that because they got to talk about the Mets and the Yankees and the Nets and the Islanders won a playoff game too yesterday. So no one is going to talk Knicks all day long anywhere except for maybe inside the Knick offices.
What we should be talking about is your white pants this morning.
Well, John said to me, can I wear white pants before Memorial Day? And the answer is yes. You can even wear white pants in the winter. Really what it comes down to is, this is what Abu told me, I don't know this, Bernie. What it comes down to is temperature. So today's going to be 77 degrees, so you can wear white pants.
That's the way I look at it. In fact, I wear my Timberlands if in the morning, I see on the news the temperature shows that it's in the 40s.
Right.
Even though it's going to go up to the 60s, maybe the early 70s.
Today?
I'll wear the Timberlands before Memorial Day weekend if it's in the 40s. In the morning before I leave the house.
And then what temperature does it have to be to get?
Well, if it's in the 60s, I will not wear them.
Right. Today's going to be 77.
And, of course, after Memorial Day weekend, then they go into the mothball closet.
The mothball closet.
Along with, yes.
No, you'd never wear a pair of white pants, though. Maybe you did 20 years ago. Maybe. Maybe not
would
even
Would I
then.
Do that now? Probably not.
When was the last time you wore white pants? Have you ever worn white pants?
I went to P. Diddy's white party out in the Hamptons, but I didn't realize that it was for clothes.
Oh, you just bought cocaine?
No, I figured I was white and I could get in.
I hate white parties, man. I hate them.
Remember we had, what's her name on?
Who?
How you doing?
Wendy Williams.
Wendy Williams.
I'm supposed to be on her show this week. We'll
and
see
she talked
if that
about
happens.
A white party and I was sort of confused. It like took me a second. I'm like,
white people.
What's up with this white party? Is that yeah. PC in this day and age?
Only white people are coming to Wendy Williams' party this week. That's it.
How you doing?
How you doing? Well, this is a big week for you.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I was supposed to be on her show last week. In fact, Meanie
oh,
got
come
me
on.
Now.
What do you mean, we'll see?
She jobbed me. Well, she didn't job me. Some, according to the producer, they overbooked on Thursday. So we'll see. This is supposed to be a big week. I'm supposed
yes.
to A, be on Wendy Williams, and B, my book contract is just about done. So,
bro, you got a date with Wendy.
I got a date with Wendy?
It's got to happen. She can't. See, I know she broke up with the other guy.
Yeah, that's so weird. Bernie points out, you're right, it was in the paper last week. But wasn't that a long time ago, I thought?
No, it was very recent.
Oh, is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
See what I want.
The last couple of weeks.
You know more than I do. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. We will talk to Rich Lowry this morning. He's a great Monday morning guest. Wrap up your political weekend. As I mentioned, John Starks will stop by. Andrew Gutman, this promises to be very good radio in the 9 o'clock hour. If you're a parent frustrated with the school system, you don't want to miss Andrew Gutman coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
Back here at the Bernie and Sid Show, heard everywhere in the 77 WABC app, simulcast out on Eastern Long Island News Talk 107.1 FM. Speaking of sports, man, I was enmeshed big time in the UFC over the weekend. I bought the pay-per-view. I watched it. They were down in Houston, full house at the Toyota Center. Who plays at the Toyota Center in Houston?
The Houston Rockets.
The Houston Rockets. It was a party. It was a blast. Texas is reopened, full on, just like Florida, Jacksonville, Florida. You had the UFC, the venue that the UFC had fans. And this weekend, it did not disappoint. Man, you heard one guy actually broke an arm. You heard it snap. I know you're saying, who wants to hear that? Trust me when I tell you, it was a party. If you're not into the UFC, you're missing out big time, folks. But anyway, the bottom line is this, that the rest of the country is now coming around. The red states led the way. And it was the pressure from the red states, make no mistake about it, that led the way for this, plus the bad news that Biden is suffering, the inflation numbers and all kinds of disasters, that forced him to come out last week out of the blue and say you do not have to wear masks. Finally, he came around. But Texas and Florida led the way, and it was a great thing, a beautiful thing to watch, to behold that these people are leading the way. Now, regarding the vaccines, they're still saying, in New York State as well, they're saying that, A, you have to wear masks, and B, they want to mandate that people wear masks. They're saying that if you're unvaxxed and you're worried, well, you still have to get the vaccine. You have to get it. You know, they're trying to say, don't worry about it. So what I'm saying is this. If you're vaccinated, if you have the vaccine, you got it, you're fine. What are you worried about if somebody's wearing a mask or not? What are you worried about? And if you're not vaccinated, you can get vaccinated. You can get it. It's your choice. It's a free country. It's all available. And so we can all do it. Even notwithstanding that, you have stores like Home Depot, Target, Starbucks, CVS, Macy's. A lot of these stores are still saying that if you're vaxxed, you must wear a mask. Why? Why is that? Why is that? Is that because of something Dr. Fauci is saying? Is that something that that Rachel Walensky is saying? Why? They said that if you're vaxxed, no problem. Get out there. Have a good time. And also, this morning, this woman, Carol Markowitz, she has an excellent column in the New York Post. Carol Markowitz, she asks a great question. She says, if the woke companies really cared, if they really cared, these woke companies, they'd actually help solve the crime problem. Most victims of crime, of course, are black and poor. So they just ignore it. They don't care. It seems like they don't care. They do not care. They care about these social justice items that mean nothing. And the same thing with NFL, MLB, and all these people. But they really don't care about black people, or else they talk about the crime in the inner cities. Carol Markowitz, it's must read in the New York Post this morning. And again, I hate to bring up Channel 5, but I have to. Channel 5 all the time. Fake news, Channel 5. I swear to God, on Saturday night, they led the show with, this is how they led it, with a one-on-one with DMX's fiance. And it was Curtis's ex-wife. She was interviewing a DMX's fiance. That was the big news. Despite all the stabbings and shootings and people getting shoved onto the subways, that's how they opened it up. And Steve Lacy on Friday night, and I bring up Channel 5 because I think they're representative, they're emblematic of the local fake news. On Channel 5, Steve Lacy on Friday night, he opens up with Liz Cheney and Elise Stefanik. And he says this, quote, Elise Stefanik, a Trump loyalist who has given voice to many of the lies, Trump's lies about the election. That's what he says, as a matter of fact.
I know. I saw the same thing on CNN on Friday. Why be mad at Liz Cheney? She's just telling the truth. We know that's not the case. What's his name is not much better. The Weekend guy, Dan Bowen?
Dirty Dan Bowen. Yeah. He's the guy who led the Saturday night with Curtis's ex-wife. One-on-one with DMX's fiance. Also, they talked in that same Steve Lacy report about Trump, at least Stefanik giving lies to Trump's lies, giving voice to Trump's lies. They said that the insurrection at the Capitol on January 6th, they mentioned it as fact.
Insurrection.
How many times have I mentioned that nobody, not one person, was arrested for insurrection? They state it as fact, and you have all the idiots out there saying, insurrection, insurrection, I heard it on the news.
Every Sunday show does it, too. From Chris Todd to Wallace to Stephanopoulos, they just call it the insurrection. You're right, it wasn't. But that doesn't seem to stop them.
The big lie.
Yep. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Again, Rich Lowry, John Starks, Andrew Gutman, Beat Bernie, Lydia reports all that on this beautiful Monday morning as we get closer and closer to Memorial Day. Now, that's going to be a traffic nightmare, no, Joe?
Oh, I think this year it's going to be back to normal. Absolutely. Oh. Heading down the shore, out to the island, up to, you know, up the Catskills and all that. It's going to be a mess. I guarantee you.
If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind, because you mean that.
6:53 on your Monday morning. Welcome back, everybody. Bernie and Sid here on this gorgeous, gorgeous day.
So,
what up, baby? I'm actually going to be on the island tomorrow, I think, taking a look at a couple of places to spend some time. Hoo-hoo. On the beach by Bernie's house. I'm going to Bernie's house this summer. That's where I'm going. I don't have a house on the Jersey Shore. My parents' house is upstate, not by the beach. Lovely. Don't get me wrong. I got my father's unveiling this summer, but I need a beach because no one loves the beach more than me. So I'm just going to your house. That's it.
Well, you're always welcome.
Yeah, you haven't, always I haven't welcome. Gone once in 30 years.
Well, I'll let you know when I'm out of town, and you can come up. Oh, no, listen, funny. Anytime. Come on. What, are you kidding me?
I really have not been to your house once in 30
and
years.
And you know how easy it would be?
What do you mean, how easy?
You travel down the, I guess, I don't know, for you it would be.
I know where you live.
The one train.
I know where you live.
Down to Penn Station.
I spoke to.
You take the train out to Long Beach, and boom, you're there.
I spoke to the Catalina Club. I spoke to the. The Sands, I spoke to Silver Point. Any of these ring a bell? They're all by your house.
I know the Sands, yeah, of course.
Well, the Sands has to be a douchey place, though. It's got to be douchey.
I have no idea. Yeah, I may have been in it.
Because most Long Island people are douchey. You're not. You're a very matter of fact guy.
You sound like these Marxists.
Well, it's true.
You judge everybody by class.
Let me tell you this.
By groups.
Living in Boca Raton, okay. The people I disliked most, the phoniest, backstabbing son of a bitches that I disliked most in Boca, almost every one of them came from Long Island. Now, again, I'm excluding you because you're just a regular guy. You wouldn't know anything about
you. Trust me when I tell you, the diversity of personalities is just the same as it is everywhere else.
Wife swapping drugs.
I mean, it's really a narrow vision that you have.
No, that is Long Island.
Very, very narrow.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about, I've been living there since 1990. But I know what I'm talking
bro,
about.
Bro, you may as, and I know you go outside, you go on the beach, you go on the boardwalk.
I go everywhere.
You have like three or four friends. But it doesn't matter where you live. You're going to feel the same way because you're basically a recluse. You walk outside.
That's not true.
You're not agoraphobic.
Now I am, but I wasn't always.
Well, when did it happen to you? What happened?
It happened when I started to work my ass off.
Yeah.
When I started working for Fox and then doing two radio shows with you, and then I just gave up everything.
Oh, Fox, you mean Bill O'Reilly, right.
O'Reilly, yeah. Sean Hannity, and all the other Fox shows, the weekend shows.
And that was it?
That was it. Wait. It was just, to me, then it was too much.
Then Before, you were a social butterfly?
I was indeed.
Really?
Yes, yes. When my kids were growing up, are you kidding me? We had parties galore. We had friends. It was unbelievable. It was a great time. It was a great life.
So are you
I have
go,
to tell you, it was a great life.
Are you going to go back to that at some point?
I don't know. I mean, maybe,
now it's just one show. You're not doing Fox News. You're not here till noon every day.
Yeah, right.
You can start to relive some of those memories if you want to.
I could, and I might. I might.
But you're comfortable like this now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I got to tell you, listen, I get yelled at all the time because we don't have friends. I'm like, I don't want friends. I don't need friends. I know a lot of people. It's fine.
I have plenty of friends and who I'm not to boast or anything, begging me to go out, and I'm just like, I don't go out anymore. I just don't. I don't.
But does Carol get mad at you?
It takes too much out of me.
I agree with you.
The price you pay is not worth it.
No.
The next day, I don't want to wake up on a Sunday morning saying, Jesus, I'm sorry I did that last
night. Right.
I don't want to do that.
But does she get mad, Carol? Oh, not really. She's good.
Well, she would like me to do more. I cannot lie, and I don't blame her. I mean,
I got to hand it to her.
She's like, life is too short. Let's go. We got pals.
But here's the thing. If life is too short, why can't you enjoy it the way you want to enjoy it?
I already have plans for Memorial Day weekend, so I'm looking forward to that.
There you go. And then you'll be good.
With friends.
Labor Day.
No. The summertime is usually when, you let your hair down a little bit.
Right.
And have some fun.
Okay. Well, it's going to be a big, big summer at the McGurk Mansion there on Lido/Atlantic Beach. We'll have details. Bunny's going to make a party and invite all of you. It's going to be great. Joe Nolan, you want to come?
It's going to be a white party.
I'm there. It's got to be a white party, no doubt. But on Memorial, just the opposite end of that, I got something Thursday of Memorial Day weekend, Friday of Memorial Day weekend, Saturday of Memorial Day.
Where do you go? You go to the Jersey Shore? Do you go to
the Jersey Shore, yeah.
Oh, you go to the Jersey Shore. Where are you? What part?
Down Lavalette.
Oh, that's living large, Joe. Living large.
So I have a boat down there, and that we live on the boat in the summertime. So it's awesome.
I would hate that, but
no, it's great. It's a 42-footer. It's a big boat. It's nice.
That's a lot of maintenance, bro.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's good to have a friend with a boat, but it's not as good to be the guy with the boat.
Inbound.
I didn't watch any of these Sunday shows yesterday. Did you?
Look, Mornings with Maria had, guess who? Elise Stefanik. Who did Fox News Chris Wallace have?
Who?
The swamp rat, fake news, useful idiot, Liz Cheney.
Oh, yeah.
So I did watch a little bit of Mornings, or whatever they call the Maria Bartiromo show on Sunday.
She's good.
That's it.
She could. She had Katsimatidis on last week, too. That was a nice spot. All right, we got Rich Lowry coming up next hour, 8 o'clock hour. We've got John Starks and Lydia Reports. In the 9 o'clock hour, Andrew Gutman and Beat Bernie. So, very exciting 3 hours about to come your way on this Monday morning in New York City with your two favorite morning show hosts, Bernie and Sid. Whenever I hear this song, I think of our old producer, Jill Vitale. Very entertaining. Great radio instincts. Really, really a great producer. But as dumb as the day is long. More cowbells. She actually thought that they wrote this song for Will Ferrell. I swear to God. It's one of the great rock and roll groups, Blue Oyster Cult. And a great song on this Monday morning at 7:08. Folks, download the 77 WABC app. You can download that anywhere in the world. We've got folks listening all over the country. We have folks listening in Israel this morning. I can't tell you how many people messaged me from Israel thanking me and Bernie for standing up for Israel, which a lot of Americans don't do these days. That's the beauty of downloading the 77 WABC app. Do it today. You can also listen to us on Alexa. Simply say, Alexa, enable the 77 WABC skill. Simulcast, of course, on Talk Radio 107.1 FM. Follow us on Twitter at Bernie and Sid and on Instagram at It's Bernie and Sid. And, of course, I'm at Sid Rosenberg on all of my accounts. On this Monday morning, once again at 7:09. One quick note about what's coming up later on today. Rich Lowry will be here in about 15 minutes. Former Knick great John Starks, he's going to stop by for a few minutes at 8:40. The Knicks have secured the 4 seed, home playoff games at Madison Square Garden. Andrew Gutman coming up at 9:05. And you played that audio, was it last week, Bernie? That was great stuff with Gutman, so I expect him to be a really, really good guest today.
He's going to be fiery.
Yeah.
He's pissed, and he's
right.
He's doing a noble thing. He's damn right. He didn't intend it, his letter to the school, to go viral, but once it did, he grabbed the horse by the reins, as they say.
Is that what they say?
I think it's what they say out in the West. And he wrote it. So, yeah, he's going to be fantastic. Fired up, and it really is a dangerous, dangerous thing that's happening. And it's pervading everything, this whole CRT nonsense, this racism. It's pervading the military. They just relieved the Space Force commander. They relieved him because he came out against CRT. In fact, he wrote a book against it. And they took the Space Force commander was relieved of duty. So it's permeated the military. So anyway, yeah, it'll be a good conversation with Mr. Gutman. And see if he expands into that. Also, you know, you had over the weekend a lot of talk about the mask, the confusion about the – what confusion?
What confusion is there? I don't understand.
Joe Biden was pretty unequivocal when he said this. Listen.
If you've been fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask. Let me repeat. If you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
Okay.
Well, did he say indoors and outdoors?
It's simple, right there. Either way, that's what he said, and that's what I'm going by. And it means indoors, outdoors. Because the bottom line is, if you're vaccinated, you're fine. You have nothing to worry about. Don't worry about who's wearing a mask or not, because it doesn't affect you.
Right.
If you're not vaccinated, you know how to get vaccinated. So it doesn't matter. Then obviously you're willing to take the risk. So it's a free country. That's that. It's over.
Well, listen, I felt that way from day one, as you did, even during the worst times, because I can say to you, well, wait a second. We do have examples of people who have been vaccinated. Just last week, Bill Maher. He was vaccinated. He still got COVID afterwards. He's not the only person for that to happen to. So there will be people that will say, well, you're insensitive because people have been vaccinated and still get the COVID. Now what?
But the same thing with the flu. People don't get the flu vaccine, and you take a risk. That's what it is. There's nothing. You don't mandate the flu vaccine or stigmatize people who don't get it. It's just it's a free country. Just go out there and take precautions.
Do we have numbers? I saw some father walking with his son yesterday, Bernard, in Riverside Park, and the Little League kids are still wearing their masks all day.
That is child abuse, bro.
I think it is, too. Now, the father's not wearing the mask. And I hear the father talking to the son. He goes, you know, son, there was a 30-year-old doctor who died from COVID. Now, it's not my business to get in the middle of a conversation between a father and a son, but I'm like, yeah, I'm sure he had heart disease. I swear to God, I'm yelling. And the father's like, excuse me? Who are you? Stay out of this, basically. But do we have numbers of how many young people that didn't have some other issue died from COVID? Because
yes,
I think the number is minuscule.
We do. It is infinitesimally small. And among other things, Fauci said over the weekend that no masks doesn't necessarily mean no masks. You know, responding to what Biden said. He actually said, I have the clip. I'm not going to play it now. Let me play the clip of Fauci talking about unvaxxed children needing to be masked.
If you have a parent that is vaccinated and was with their own child in the house, you don't need to worry about having the child masked or you masked. When a child is outside and is not vaccinated and interacting with other people, either in an outdoor or in an indoor setting, you want to make sure the child is masked.
That is so stupid, so anti-science. It's really, really bad. And then there was Rand Paul, who commented on his comments right there. This is what Rand Paul said.
This is good. He probably has the highest IQ for someone who actually acts like an ignoramus every day of the week. I mean, really? Kids don't get this disease. When they do get it, it's a mild form. They don't transmit it well. We've got 2 years worth of evidence on this. We don't have rash of deaths on age 1 to 10, 1 to 18. they still have their camp provision. They want them going around camp wearing a mask, doing the six-foot stuff. There's no science behind it. It's all conjecture. It's all Tony Fauci, his way or the highway, Mr. Little Dictator. So, no, there's no science. Having, you know, the burden of proof should be on the state. If Fauci wants kids to mask up and wear masks everywhere, he should show us the science.
Show us the science, brother, and he has not. And then you have people like, I don't, you remember this kid David Hogg?
Yes.
He's the kid from Marjorie Stoneman
Parkland.
Douglas. Yeah, Parkland, yes. Right. Yeah. In other words, he made a name for himself, whatever, coming out against, coming out for gun control, all that stuff.
Yes.
Anyway, this is what he tweeted. I feel the need to continue wearing my mask outside even though I'm fully vaccinated because the inconvenience of having to wear a mask is more than worth it to have people not think I'm a conservative. See, in other words, it is a virtue signal thing.
Of course.
Rachel Maddow echoed a similar sentiment. Listen to her.
I feel like I'm going to have to rewire myself so that when I see somebody out in the world who's not wearing a mask, I don't instantly think you are a threat or you are selfish or you are a COVID denier and you definitely haven't been vaccinated. I mean, we're going to have to rewire the way that we look at each other.
So she's on MSNBC. So Saturday afternoon, I'm watching some Lady Bernard on MSNBC wearing a red dress. She's on every weekend. I don't know her name. And she's talking to some doctor. And she's like, what is the hurry? Leave your mask on. We're not sure. And the doctor goes, you have to understand, there is still a healthy percentage of Americans that think that Donald Trump is still the president. Now, Donald Trump keeps yelling at people to get vaccinated. Get vaccinated. So why even mention him during that conversation? But that goes right to the point that you just made about Hogg, Rachel Maddow, and all these psychos.
Yeah, they are.
It's still about Trump.
Look, you had sane guys like Brett Jawar, the admiral who did an admirable job during the COVID, you know, the White House task force, all that stuff. But also on CNN, you had these quack doctors. Play the medical analyst too, if you would. On wearing masks.
And I do really worry. Now we're going to be potentially going to grocery stores or other settings where they could be exposed. So if you're taking your kids to the grocery store or somewhere else, try to go at a time when there aren't a lot of people around. And if there are a lot of maskless people walking around, you suspect that some of them could actually be unvaccinated, maybe leave and come back later.
So that's a prevalent sentiment among the left. Again, if you're vaccinated, you don't have to worry about anybody wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, even though you have the Yankees guys. Those guys all experience mild symptoms, so the vaccination is doing its job in that regard.
Right.
But those numbers are still infinitesimally small. And those guys, by the way, had the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, where
right.
the rate of success on that is like 63% or something like that. And if you're not vaccinated, you can get vaccinated. So we're all good. Everybody's fine. Plus, you have about 100 million people who have had the disease already, so they're immune. They're more immune than people who are vaccinated. So we've essentially reached herd immunity. That's it. It's over. End of conversation. Science is clear on the matter, and that's that.
I'm still, for some reason, I have to admit, I'm a little hesitant to get the second shot this week. I'm due this week.
What day?
Well, it was supposed to be Wednesday, but I think I'm filming Wendy Williams on Thursday. So I'm thinking maybe do it on Thursday after the taping. So if I get sick, I have a 3-day weekend. I'll just take Friday off and I'll have Saturday and Sunday. Hi, Wendy. So I don't know. I'm seriously considering, because I think once you get the first shot, you're 80% vaccinated anyway, right?
I believe so. Yeah.
Right. So I'm basically there, right? I never got sick. I never got it.
You're good.
Now I'm 80% vaccinated. Do I need to get that second shot?
Well, you're a healthy young man. You probably will not suffer side effects.
You're the only guy I know that was actually pretty good.
Well, no, my wife, my kids.
They were pretty good after the second one?
After the second shot, no problem.
Oh, that's good.
Our boss, Chad Lopez, now, he had the coronavirus.
Right.
So he had the antibodies in his body. He shouldn't have gotten vaccinated. He didn't need to get vaccinated. The antibodies were fighting the vaccine.
No, I know that.
They are designed to, that's what they're designed to do.
But there's three examples here of Dave Labrosi, our esteemed program director, Juliette Huddy, Deb Valentine. None of them had it, and they were all deathly sick, like deathly sick.
They may have had comorbidities.
Maybe.
To use a $3.
No, you may be right. I don't know.
I know Labrosi does.
For sure, right?
Yeah.
He's a Pittsburgh Pirate fan. That's the first comorbidity he's got. Rich Lowry, editor, National Review, is coming up next. He's a great Monday morning conversation. Former New York Knick great John Starks. The Knicks are back in the playoffs, coming up at 8:40. Andrew Gutman coming up at 9:05. And at 9:40, your chance at a $100 gift card and a WABC Barry House coffee mug with Beat Bernie, brought to you by Pete Morgan and the fine folks at Peerless Borders. A very exciting Monday morning right here with your boys, Bernie and Sid.
I got hairy legs.
Bon Jovi for you, 7:27 on your Monday morning. We put this time aside. This is a great guest. He really is. Editor, National Review. His stuff is syndicated all over the country, oftentimes right here in the New York Post, also writes for Politico, and is an NBC contributor. Often see him on Meet the Press with Chuck Todd. Our Monday morning guy, the great Rich Lowry. Richard, good morning. How are you, bud?
Good. How are you?
We're doing okay. Explain to us, if you will, what the confusion is. You've got CNN on in the studio, MSNBC. There seems to be massive confusion about the masks. We don't get it. Vaccinated, don't wear it. What's the confusion?
You know, this shows, Sid, you should have been the head of the CDC all along.
That's clarity.
Right?
That is clarity.
CDC director who should have said, you go to Bed Bath & Beyond without a mask if you want. And that's it. So there's the whole pandemic.
Oh, that's a good memory. I do. I still love it there, just so you know. And guess what? I walk in there now without a mask. Because they said it's okay. They said it's okay. But where is this confusion coming from? What's the problem?
I don't know. You know, I think part of it is people just don't want to give up the masks. The masks, obviously, they become a cultural thing. And there are some people who feel superior wearing masks, and they can't give it up. And they need to know, you know, who the idiots are who aren't wearing masks. They can look down on them, and they just can't give it up. But this was a long time coming, sort of hard to believe that just in a two-week period, all of a sudden the CDC looked at the research and studies and realized that vaccinations, you know, make it safe for people. So I don't get it at all.
No, it makes no sense. Again, Sid with the clarity that is lacking from the CDC. Rich Lowry from the National Review on the Bernie and Sid Show. Rich, the Biden administration, speaking of them, a lot of negative things happening for them. The Mideast, the border, and, of course, now the latest inflation numbers, harkening back to the 70s. Maybe that's why they came out with that mask announcement last week, to distract. A lot of people think that. But on the issue of this inflation, you say that the Republicans should not compromise with the Democrats for this next $2 trillion non-infrastructure bill. In other words, no money whatsoever. Just say no. But don't the Democrats have the votes?
Well, it's not clear they have the votes. And we just think $800 billion, which is the top number Republicans are talking about, the ceiling where they're willing to go, is just an astonishing amount of money. And we don't have an infrastructure crisis in this country. And the federal government already spends a lot on infrastructure, and states and localities do as well. So there's just no need to go down this route. I think some Republicans are talking about repurposing some of the quote-unquote COVID money, so maybe that makes more sense. But it's not clear the Democrats do have the votes. Wow. And Manchin and Sinema are nervous about the spending. You have other Democrats not so enthusiastic about the taxes that would at least pay for some of this. And just the typical dynamics taking hold here. Every day that passes, Biden loses a little steam. So, if he's still at this till September, that's a really good thing for Republicans.
Thank you for the clarity comment on the masks. I've got more clarity for you if you want, Rich Lowry. That's what I do. Israel, I'm tired of this battle there. It's been going on forever. Israel, that is their land. Hey, the Palestinians don't even pay the rent they're supposed to pay, to be honest with you. And usually Israel, if not all the time, much like Donald Trump, they're just defending themselves. They're firing back. Now, they come back with a better punch, but that's okay. I'm kind of sick of it. I almost wish at this point Israel would just take over and get rid of all these people, and that's it. But just like everything else, Rich Lowry, you can make the prediction on how somebody feels basically on their political affiliation. And that has become really annoying, no?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's just not simple. There's no other sovereign state where it'd even be controversial if they're being hit indiscriminately by hundreds of rockets, shot from near its borders, that it would respond and respond in a muscular way. Imagine what we would do, you know, if Canada or Mexico were doing this to us.
Well, it depends who's president. If Biden was president, we'd do nothing.
I guess so.
But if Trump...
I guess so. Touche. But the thing about this AP building, there's just no way the Israelis, I mean, given how good they are at this, given they know how many people around the world want to criticize them, there's no way they're just going to hit randomly at a building housing reporters unless there's a real reason to. And there are indications that the lower level of this building might have been a Hamas facility. I'm sure she'll learn more. But it's just the same. I'm as sick of it as you are. It's just the same thing every time. You know, Hamas shoots rockets, then they locate all their stuff in civilian areas. So when Israel hits back, civilians tragically are killed, then they blame Israel. And then at some point, you know, there'll be a ceasefire a week or so from now or whatever it is. And then they'll complain about how poor they are in Gaza, and then they'll use all the resources to build tunnels and get more missiles. So
yeah,
around
that,
it goes.
That building housed the AP and Al Jazeera and Hamas, all those, and the fake news is really upset. But also what they're upset about is Israel. This was great. This was actually brilliant. Netanyahu was threatening to invade Gaza last Thursday, and then Israel put out a tweet saying that the invasion essentially is underway, and the New York Times and the Washington Post repeated what the tweet said without attributing it to the tweet. And the Hamas people, they actually saw the tweet, I mean the reports from the New York Times and the Washington Post, sent their guys down into the tunnels to pick up the anti-tank missiles and other missiles as well. And the Israelis used that occasion, it was all a ruse, used that occasion to separate those guys from the civilians and bomb them and taking away their, oh, they killed kids in the process. So the Israelis used the fake news to fool the terrorists, and the fake news is upset. I think it was brilliant.
Yeah, completely brilliant. And this is just what you get when you have a tough-minded society that has to be extremely serious about this sort of stuff. There's no option for Israel to be soft or delude itself. And that was just a tactic for the ages.
Rich, as always, your Monday morning spot is great. We really do love it. We talk about it in our post-show meetings every week, how terrific you are. So thank you. Enjoy the beautiful weather this
week.
We'll talk again next Monday, buddy. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks, fellas.
The great Rich Lowry, editor, National Review. Again, you can read his stuff syndicated all across the country, often in the New York Post. Also writes for Politico, and you can catch Rich as well a lot on Meet the Press, NBC. He's a great Monday morning guest.
Joe Nolan is up with traffic next. Sports with Sid coming up as well. But right now, it's time for the 77 WABC Clip of the Day on the Cats Roundtable. Sunday mornings at 8:30, Mr. Katz speaks with Mike Pompeo, former CIA director, about what's happening in Israel, Iran, and Palestine.
Who's paying for all these missiles that are landing on Israel? Tell us, what's your thoughts?
So you have terrorists that are in the Gaza Strip now firing hundreds of rockets into Tel Aviv and into cities all across Israel, trying to kill innocent Israeli civilians, all with the ultimate mission of destroying the rightful Jewish homeland in Israel. The resources don't exist in Gaza. The money is coming largely from the Islamic Republic of Iran. These are Iranian proxy forces. So the Iranians have made clear that they have genocidal intent, and they use proxy forces, people like the Palestinian Islamic Jihad and Hamas. The Israelis must defend themselves. They're going to do that. I'm confident we need to support them. While the Iranians are writing checks to Hamas that is then firing missiles into Israel, the United States is negotiating with that same Iran to give them billions of dollars and then, again, started up funding the Palestinians through UNRWA, a UN organization. This makes the United States in a very awkward position of using U.S. taxpayer resources to support organizations that are terrorizing Israel.
Now there's a serious adult. Now we have frivolous children running the show.
Well, I got terrible news for you folks. This one is really going to knock you off your breakfast seat. Terrible, terrible news. But it's our job on Bernie and Sid to keep you informed on everything. Ronnie is off of the Jersey Shore.
I know.
Grab a hold of yourself.
Get him out!
Domestic violence, and he's decided to take the time.
Domestic violence?
That's right.
What does that mean?
He beats up his girlfriend, allegedly.
Oh, I see.
So he's got to take some time.
It's just a sanitized way to say he beats women up.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, all right.
So he needs to take time so he can do what? I don't know. What do you do? What do you do? You go to anger management?
No, you go. You join a boxing club and you get it out of your system in on a heavy bag.
Is that what you do?
You go home and you're too tired to hit the wife.
He's been doing that forever, though. I don't know if you ever beat up Sammy's sweetheart.
Really
all the
tough.
Way back.
Tough guys. Tough guys beat up their wives. Yeah, all these tough guys. Yeah. Go home and smack the wife. Yeah,
I'm so happy you say that.
Good job out of you.
I'm so happy you say that because it just seems in certain communities, it seems to be accepted like no big deal. Like, hey, you screwed up today, take a smack across the face. Are you kidding me?
Hey, come on. It used to be, remember Ralph Cramden, bang, zoom to the moon.
But he never touched her.
No, he didn't. No, well, obviously. You know, they weren't going to. Even then, they wouldn't put that in a show. But back in the day, guys used to it almost was a common practice.
It was, huh?
In fact, in some countries, it still is.
Really?
Today,
do
they, yes. In 2021.
They encourage it in certain countries?
Well, they tolerate it.
No kidding.
It's kind of, tacitly accepted that the man is the king of his castle and the woman better obey or else, bang, zoom to the moon.
Yeah, I guess. Well, that's the news of the day. So,
well, let me give you one more. The in New York City, this is really something else. The Gay Pride people, the people in charge of the Gay Pride parade, the march, and all that stuff. They're still not sure whether or not the march will go off next month. Next month is Pride Month, for the gays. It's
so June is when that parade is. Because I get confused with the Halloween parade. That's all gays, too, but that's not gay pride. That's Halloween. So June is the gay pride parade.
That's it. That's the big deal. But it turns out over the weekend, they have barred gay police.
I saw that.
Gay police from marching in their parade.
How do you do that?
Till 2025, till 2025.
They gave them a five-year ban?
Yeah, and then maybe they'll reconsider in 2025.
I mean, you can't do
that. I mean, whatever happened to inclusion?
Right, they're gays.
Yeah, I mean, the St. Patrick's Day parade just a few years ago said, okay, inclusion, yeah, we'll let the gays march.
Oh, and to this day, Bill Donahue, the head of the Catholic League, is furious about that.
Now, here, this comes in the midst of everybody demonizing the cops, and they jump on. They pile on. So you have most of the crime hurts people of color, blacks, Asians, et cetera. Those are most of the victims. And, to a certain extent, some whiteies. But who cares about the whiteies? Really, who gives a rat's ass? But still, it affects them. So these gays, these liberal gays, are really, when you boil it down, they're selfish racists. They don't care.
They really are, right?
Yeah. They continue to demonize. They're exclusionary. They're snobs. The working class blue-collar cop, he can't march with them. And plus, they don't care about crime in the inner city or crime against Asians, where we need the police. And then, again, I hate to bring it up, but it's the only local news I really watch is Channel 5. You have this Richard Giacobus, who's doing a news report. He says, well, they will not consider having the cops back in until 2025, and only if they implement some reform. The police implement some reform. Maybe he didn't hear this idiot, this reporter. Maybe he could have pointed out that they already defunded the police by $1 billion, stripped them of qualified immunity, passed this diaphragm law. These are so-called reforms. Maybe this idiot reporter, Richard Giacobus on Channel 5 News, maybe he's not aware of that. Let me school this moron. Hey, Richard, it's 10 p.m. Do you know where your brains are at? Do you know where your reporting ability is at? So, yeah, of course, Joe Biden as well. This week is a police week, believe it or not. And Joe Biden put out this proclamation, acknowledging that it's police week. But in the proclamation, he actually said this. Listen, he cites, quote, there's a deep sense of mistrust toward the police in black and brown communities. And he's wrong about that, of course. 81% of all blacks surveyed say they want more cops in the community. The thugs don't like the cops, but the residents in the inner city, the black people, the 81%. I mean, that's a staggering number. So it gives lie to what the imbecile in chief is saying. And, of course, during his proclamation about police week, he did not mention there were at least four cops killed last week. At least four.
Were there four killed?
Yeah, two in California responding to one domestic violence. In other words, a guy smacking around a woman. And either way, there were four cops killed last week. He never mentioned any of those cops. One of them, he never mentioned the cop that was killed in his own home state, this Corporal Heacock. He never mentioned Anastasios Sakos, who was killed by this this hateful drunk black lady who was influenced by LeBron's ugly anti-cop language and his own anti-cop language. And he talked about the fear of cops, the fear of cops. I don't see blacks fearing cops. I see them disrespecting them just brazenly, willy-nilly, no problem. It started with dumping water on their heads last summer, and now they're throwing bricks and rocks, and the cop cars come around, and they heckle them, and they throw garbage cans at them. I don't see any fear of cops. I really don't. So you had the rat imbecile-in-chief doing that over the weekend. And of course, these crazy gays coming out with this. And by the way, they're going to rue the day they did this because there's going to be some sort of anti-gay crime spree. That's going to happen.
So now, if you're not a gay cop, you're still going to be, you know, you're probably not going to want to help because it's still your brothers and sisters that they've excluded here. So it's going to hurt them all around.
Absolutely. And by the way, I hate to say it. Karma is a bitch, but that's what they're bringing it on themselves. And they're going to be like, well, where are the police? Why aren't the police doing more? The police. So it's a real crap move on their part, and they should be ashamed of themselves. I don't want to wish any harm on anybody, so I'll just leave it there. And we've been talking about the Knicks all morning long, about how they made it to the playoffs. And, well, the Brooklyn Nets have made it to the playoffs as well, but maybe this bodes well for the Knicks' chances because maybe they'll meet up with the Nets at some point.
That would be amazing.
That's a possibility.
That would be cool.
But Kyrie Irving, he's not quite into the basketball these days.
No, he says basketball is no longer that important to him. I wonder how the Nets feel about paying that $100 million salary, and they read that in the paper. It's not that important to him.
Yeah, not that important because he's more or less well, he's upset over what's happening to the Palestinians, pretty much. Listen to Kyrie Irving.
You know, I don't care which way you stand on either side. If you're a human being, then you would support, you know, the anti-war effort that's going on. There's a lot of people losing their lives, children, a lot of babies. And, you know, that's just what I'm focused on.
That's what he's focused on. He doesn't care about the basketball.
Yeah, you know, I had a discussion with Heshy Ogenbaum a couple of days ago, and he's got season tickets for the Nets. And I said, you know, if you just stand idly by when a guy like Kyrie Irving continues to demonize police, that right there is anti-Semitism. It may be, you know, kind of covered because he's talking about children.
Exactly. Right. He wasn't overt necessarily.
But that's anti-Semitism. I said, if you don't do anything about this, send a letter to the Nets, you know, just voice your displeasure. Say, listen, I love the Nets. I've got season tickets. I go to these games, but I'm not okay with your players, your superstar players, saying these types of things. If you don't say anything, then it's basically 1942 Germany all over again. I mean, you're a big voice in the Jewish community. You cannot allow Kyrie Irving to continuously say these types of things in our city, where there's a lot of Jews in this city, and not say anything about it.
By the way, they had a big pro-Palestinian rally of all places. Well, A, Yonkers, but B, Bay Ridge. It was huge.
Bay Ridge,
Brooklyn, and they had one of these so-called supermodels, Bella Hadid.
Oh, Bella Hadid, that's right.
And she was out there, and she was spewing all types of anti-Semitic stuff. So a lot of these liberals are down with down with the Palestinians. Believe it or not,
of course they are.
Yeah. And but Bay Ridge, I mean, is that a big Palestinian enclave?
Well, it used to be, when I was a kid, Bay Ridge was all Italians. Dyker Heights, Bay 8th Street, Poly Prep, Arthur Idala, was all Italians. But when you go down, I guess, 3rd Avenue, now there's a lot of, I think, Koreans. There are some Palestinians. I don't go to Bay Ridge often anymore, but it has changed.
Wow.
So was Bensonhurst. That's completely, that was all Italian. Not anymore.
And one last note on the gays, the liberal gays excluding gay police officers who used to march, and they're very upset, excluding them from marching in their parade and saying that we don't want the cops, providing security. They say they'll hire private security. Well, most private security guys are former cops and military. And the poor blacks and Asians in the inner city who are victimized by all this crime and who want and need the police and don't need the police to be further demonized, they can't afford to hire private security. Like you liberal privileged gay people.
Right.
They can't do it. So it's just a real, really sick situation all around. And as I mentioned, karma's a bitch.
Karma's a bitch.
Yep.
And it's coming. John Starks will be here at 8:40. We'll talk to Andrew Gutman. I'm really looking forward to that coming up at 9:05 because we love Andrew on this show. And Lydia Reports coming up at 8:25 all today on Bernie and Sid.
Another turning point, a fork stuck in the road. Time grabs you by the wrist, directs you where to go. So make the best of this test and don't ask why.
We mentioned a couple of times this morning our dear friend Mike Breen getting into the Hall of Fame. I just saw a lovely picture of Breeny and his wife Roseanne on Instagram. Another good friend of yours, by the way, Bernie. No. Did you set him and his wife up? Is that the story, basically?
I didn't do the setup, but I was there the night.
You were there?
They met out in the Hamptons, Ed's Bay Pub. A lot of people know Ed's Bay Pub.
Ed's Bay Pub?
It's a notorious Hamptons hangout, and it was in a strip mall, but it's still everybody back in the 80s knew of Ed's Bay Pub.
Where was that? Was that Quag? Was it Hampton?
This was Hampton Bays.
Hampton Bays. Yep. Look at that.
Hampton Bays. In fact, I even remember having drinks there with not only Mike Breen, but Breen and I were hanging out, but Michael Kay.
No kidding.
Yeah.
How about that? The voice of the Yanks. Well, Breen was there with his wife. There was one wife that was at the Hall of Fame this weekend, Saturday, the Naismith Hall of Fame. They inducted Tim Duncan. And
where's that?
In Springfield, Ohio.
Ohio. Okay.
Yes. And, of course, Kobe Bryant was killed last year. He was posthumously put in the Hall of Fame on Saturday. And his beautiful wife, and she is beautiful, beautiful, Vanessa Bryant, had everybody crying, including me, and had this to say on Saturday on her husband, her late husband, Kobe, making the
Hall of Fame. Congratulations, baby. All of your hard work and sacrifices paid off. You did it. You're in the Hall of Fame now. You're a true champ. You're not just an MVP. You're an all-time great. I'm so proud of you. I love you forever and always. Kobe, Bean, Bryant.
Ouch. Michael Jordan walked her up on stage for that. That was actually a beautiful moment from Vanessa Bryant. God rest Kobe Bryant. So today we start with Subway service 24/7. So I was telling Bernie, my guy Gene, my cab driver, who I love like a family member at this point. He's a relative. Takes me to work every day, and I could take the subway home, but it's a pain in the ass because it takes two trains for me to get home. So I said, 24/7 service, I can save myself about $250 a week cash if I start taking the subway back and forth. And Bernie's job is really a lot of the time to quell my ego, but not in this case. In this case, you said I shouldn't take the subway, and why is that?
They should be providing you with a car. Back and forth. You are a player, bro. You're auditioning for movies, for God's sakes. The subway's open 24 hours a day, which I don't know. I mean, it is a good thing because restaurants are starting today, staying open past midnight.
4 a.m. I heard. I saw.
I'm not sure what time, but definitely past midnight. Yeah. And that's a good thing. But yeah. The downside is now the bums are going to have a place to sleep without being rousted in the middle of the night.
But why can't they just have police make sure they're not sleeping on the train? Like, I don't understand.
It's the resources.
It's a waste of money. Yeah.
Plus, but the good news is the weather is getting warm, so the bums can stay above ground and sleep in doorways these days as opposed to going down in the subway. But when the weather gets cold again, they go underground and then you have the same problem all over again. Because I always maintain that they closed the subways not to clean them because you didn't need to clean them. I mean, you could have cleaned them without closing down the subway system. Yeah. And plus, as it turns out, the whole virus on surface thing was, if not a hoax, a lie.
Yeah.
It's just not true. The virus doesn't survive on surfaces. But the whole reason to close it really was to stop the homeless people from setting up camp in subway cars. It was a way to throw them off without seeming inhumane by claiming, "Oh, I'm doing it just to clean up the subways." But, again, the downside is they will be back setting up a camp.
Well, you know, one of the things I did not hear much about, even last week's Democrat debate, and even following this thing as closely as I am, Fernando Mateo was on this show on Friday. I was at that restaurant Friday night, saw Elaine and the whole crew at Café du Soleil. They contend he's going to win because he's going to beat Curtis Sliwa on Staten Island and win that nomination. I don't think it's going to go that way, but we'll see. But even if it's Eric Adams or Andrew Yang, the two guys who I think right now are the favorites to win the whole thing, not just their side, but the whole thing. I have not heard a lot from Eric Adams about what he's going to do with the homeless situation here. Because to me, it's right there with crime. Because first of all, a lot of these people are committing crimes. And secondly, when they're not committing crimes, it's still terrifying for kids like my 12-year-old son. They got to fix that.
It is so bad. Yeah, people. Remember Friday morning? Friday morning, there were four incidents within 35 minutes. Four guys. Four, and believe me when I tell you,
four folks, separate incidents.
Yes, perpetrated by the same four creeps who were not white supremacists.
Homeless.
Just leave it at that. I wouldn't say homeless. They look like young men to me.
You know what's funny, what you just said? I would often say in my house.
In fact, they were not homeless because homeless don't travel in packs of
four, assaulting people. They're right. But I would often say in my house, after a crime was reported on local news in front of Ava, Gabe, and my wife, I would go, oh, look, another guy with a MAGA hat, a white guy with a MAGA hat, a white supremacist. And every time, whether it was a homeless crime, an Asian crime, a Jewish crime, it's a black person. And they would get angry with me. Now I say it. No one says a word. What are you going to come back and say to me? What are you going to say?
Yeah. You know, it's funny, too. And again, I focus on Channel 5 local fake news because that's the one I watch, the only one I watch. But I'm sure this is occurring in all the local newscasts, all the fake newscasts, because I have seen them in the past. But they did a story on Channel 5 over the weekend. They started out, it was last night, they started out with the interview with the fiance of the late DMX. That was their lead story. They spent like 3 or 4 minutes on it. And then the second story was about the subways opening, but not the crime, not the people perpetrating the crime, the 70-year-old woman who was sucker punched on the train. And they have video of the guy that did it, pictures of it. They didn't show that or talk about it or anything. That was their second story, just that the subways were opening, not the crime. And then the third story was about a guy out in Long Island who went into an Ace Hardware and he wasn't wearing a mask.
Right.
So they actually put his picture on the TV, and he could have been a white supremacist. They put his picture on the TV and they said, if you've seen this guy, call Crime Stoppers. But they don't do that for the animals who are sucker punching 70-year-old girls
and
women on the street in the subways.
They never do.
I wonder why. What's the difference?
Yeah, right.
One of them might be a white supremacist, and the rest are definitely not white supremacists. I mean, if you smell what I'm cooking.
I do. Pete Morgan says Bernie is right. They should send you a car. And the Basketball Hall of Fame is in Springfield, Massachusetts. He's right, not
Springfield,
Ohio.
Springfield, Mass.
Yeah, Springfield, Mass. But, yeah, they lie now. All of a sudden in this race, Catherine Garcia, she was endorsed by the New York Times, and most recently, just over the weekend, the New York Daily News. I don't know where that's coming from, but Garcia is getting some play, and now even Maya Wiley is getting some major endorsements, and she's becoming a part of the conversation. Maybe we shouldn't be so quick to give it to Adams or Yang just yet.
Well, I saw a poll or heard of a poll of potential Democrat voters. The top concern is law and order, crime, 21%.
That's fine.
The second top concern is racial justice, 20%, right there, just behind it. So, and this Maya Wiley plays to that nonsense.
She does.
She's a racist. She believes in critical race theory and all the racism. She believes in teaching racism in school. So she's a racist. So maybe she's getting traction with those types of people. Maybe I'm not sure. Maybe the people who they polled, sampled, are just not that educated because the number one problem here is not social or racial justice. It is crime by 10 miles.
Do you think, look, we know that it's always a very small sample. Why does de Blasio keep winning? Because only like 10 people go vote. Literally, 10 people.
Yep.
So do you think with all the issues we've been having in this city, that people like you and I document every single day, that folks that don't ordinarily vote because they're so fed up are going to make their way to the polls, or do you think it'll be business as usual, even with this mayoral race?
I'm sad to say, I think it's going to be business as usual.
So do I.
It's going to be the The apathy will be on display, and there will be certain people, you know, people who are aware or cognizant or care about this so-called racial justice, you know, the systematic race. Those are the people who are more likely to vote than the people who are impacted by crime, who just say, I don't know, maybe they throw their hands up in the air, or they don't realize the consequences of electing these losers out there who focused on the wrong things.
They don't realize it. So with all the anti-Semitic crime going on, which we know about, how about the Christians and what's been going on with these churches in Brooklyn? I saw Curtis Sliwa at two different churches over the weekend where they desecrated a statue of Jesus Christ, where they took down a cross. By the way, the bad guy in both of those was a black person. Just to quote Bernie, was supposed to tell you that, right?
Well, according to the Washington Post and the New York Times,
right,
you have to identify people by their race.
Right. Just happened to be both of those, like most other issues we're talking
about. And that's
about.
The only reason why we bring it up.
Right.
Otherwise, we'd be, you know, we'd just be saying that the Catholic Church got vandalized.
But even there, not just the Jews, but the Christians. I mean, it's just the whole city has gone crazy.
And here's the thing again. I watched Channel 5 over the weekend, Saturday night and Sunday. I tape it just to see what's going on. Not a mention.
Are you serious?
I only knew about what you're talking about because of Curtis's emails.
Oh, I saw it on New York One. That's where I saw it, New York One.
Channel 5, Dirty Dan Bowens and Stupid Steve Lacy.
Nothing.
Wow. It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your balls are at, Steve Lacy and Dan Bowens?
Oh, boy. Okay, on a lighter note and a happier note, the Knicks are back in the playoffs, one of their all-time greats, and a guy who's a good buddy of me and Bernie, John Starks. He'll be here coming up at 8:40, talking about the schools. Parent Andrew Gutman, he's going to be here at 9:05, but coming up next, Lydia Serrani, Lydia Reports on the Monday edition of Bernie and Sid.
I truly and deeply apologize for it.
This is Lydia Reports on 77 WABC. Here's Lydia Serrani.
As you guys just mentioned, the subways are now open 24 hours. So, Sid, now you can resume taking the subway again, but hopefully you will stay safe because there were four more violent attacks on the subway over the weekend. And then it's getting out of control again with the shootings. 11 people were shot across the city. This was only in an 8-hour span. One person died. And then meanwhile, you got New York City's Mayor de Blasio. He's talking about $37 million spending that type of money on violence interrupters. Violence interrupters are just everyday people. Some of them are former gang members. They're not armed. They're supposed to talk people out of committing a crime. Meanwhile, that $37 million could actually be used to hire 400 additional cops. And then if you check out the 77WABC Twitter page, or you go to my Twitter at Lydia News, you'll see that while cops were arresting a deranged lunatic with a knife, he was trying to kill somebody, another guy vandalized their patrol car. I mean, completely demolished the windshield. You can check out the picture. Fortunately, bystanders alerted police as to who the guy was because he didn't even run off. And he was arrested. And I actually emailed DCPI, that's the New York NYPD press office, to find out what happened to the guy. But I'm sure he was just charged with a misdemeanor and probably some vandalism. But the lack of respect towards our men and women in blue is just astounding. And it's really sad. And what was it, Senator Kennedy, who said, next time you're in trouble, don't call 911, call a crackhead? Maybe that's what all of these people that want to defund the police should do.
If you face a gun in your face, do not call the police. Oh, that's the wrong John Kennedy.
Listen, wrong Kennedy.
As the Lieutenant Benevolent Association's leader, Lou Turco, just said in the spot just before your hit, Lydia, the police are handcuffed. They're handcuffed because of the laws, and they're being demonized. And I talked about it this morning. The latest, of course, the gay pride people banning gay cops from marching, and also banning the NYPD from protecting them during their stupid parade. They're going to hire private security. Now, my question to them would be, are these liberal gays aware of who caught the thug who shot the 2-year-old black kid in the chest, killing him? It was the NYPD. It was those racist and bad NYPD, those menacing NYPD. Are the liberal gays who banned the police, the gay police, from marching in the parade, are they aware who caught the animal who stomped the Asian lady on 9th Avenue? Well, let me inform that it was the NYPD who came to the rescue and then caught the perp who assaulted that Asian lady. And finally, are these liberal gays aware of who caught that mutt that shot the four-year-old little girl, Skylar Martinez, in Times Square? Are they aware of who caught her? It was the NYPD. No, these liberal gays and the rest of these people will call for defunding the police. They're selfish racists is what they are. They're just part of a political agenda, and they don't care about the real consequences that happen in the inner cities and in the regular city, you know, the regular part of the city. Times Square is a regular part of the city. They don't care. They don't care about the black and brown people being victimized or the white people being victimized. But we don't really care about the white people. It's the black and brown. And these liberal gays do not care.
Of the 11 people that were shot in New York City, how many of them do you think were from inner city communities and of, they were minorities?
I'd say all.
Absolutely. All.
Yeah.
And in Chicago, 37 people were shot over the weekend, five of them fatally, every single one of them. It was a minority.
And that's
who's getting hurt the most by all of these defunding and regressive policies.
I saw LeBron's tweet about those kids who were killed, the blacks that were killed in Chicago. Oh, wait a minute. I didn't see that. No, never mind.
You're funny. Well done.
There was no tweet.
That was well done.
Sid perked up.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, LeBron.
I thought the gay parade was all about inclusion,
right,
and not judging people and allowing people to be their best self and not painting people with a broad brush. And that's exactly what they're doing to the police.
Bingo.
Just because of what a cop did in Minnesota, Chauvin, now all cops are bad because he committed murder. Now all cops are animals. I remember when I worked for Fox 5, there was a string of anti-gay hate crimes that were going on in Chelsea, and it was the cops that arrested the guys. Yeah, it's always the cops the guys.
This started way before the Derek Chauvin thing. I mean, you can go back to Michael Brown in Ferguson, Missouri, but I got to tell you, Lydia and Bernard, the more I watch a lot of documentaries lately, I should say, Son of Sam, all these 70s things, and, you know, the Black Panthers hated cops back in the late 1960s from the Vietnam era, too. So this is not new. It's just the numbers now are so large, and with social media, these people who hate the cops have an ability to get to more and more people, and the media has completely sold out. So we've had these issues in the past. We have,
right,
but not at these numbers.
And they ignore the statistics. Really, again, at the risk of repetition, there are about 30 million encounters nationally with police. Nationally,
yeah,
about 10 or 15 go sideways. 10 or 15.
That's it.
I mean, look, how many malpractice suits are filed against doctors who screw up? People make mistakes.
Of course.
And a lot of times, these cops, they're not even making mistakes. They're erring on the side of their lives.
Right.
Because you had the imbecile in chief, believe it or not, over the weekend. This is National Police Week. The imbecile in chief, yeah, Joe Biden, the drooling imbecile in chief, he cited during his proclamation about National Police Week, he actually cited falsely the deep sense of mistrust towards police in black and brown communities. That's what he said.
He's wrong. The overwhelming majority love the police, need the police. There are two
lies. Want the police. 81%,
right,
they want the police.
There are two lies going on. One is the number, which you just said, Bernard, is minuscule. And that's the biggest lie, right, is the number. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah.
That's the biggest lie. And the second lie is, like you just said, that these people don't want police presence in their communities.
And the law-abiding law-abiding black and brown community want the police. They don't have a deep sense of mistrust towards the police, the black and brown community, the majority of them. The thugs do. The thugs and maybe some of the misguided friends of the thugs. But no, the majority of right-minded, hardworking, good black and brown people, they trust the police and want them in their hoods.
The third lie, which you often hear the media say time and time again, is that when cops do these types of things, they don't get into trouble. I don't know. Derek Chauvin is going to prison, I think, forever. That cop that shot that guy who was running away from him in South Carolina, in jail. The cop that shot McDonald in Chicago 16 times, in jail. So I'm not sure where those stats are coming from either. They continue to say, well, these cops kill every single day and don't pay the price. Really?
Yeah. Every time we witness, they do pay the price. And also another canard out there, the hoax, is that black and brown people fear the police. And as I pointed out earlier this morning, I see on these videotapes, I don't see fear. I see some brazen disrespect of the police. I see them yelling at them, hurling epithets at them. It started last year with dumping these buckets of water on the cops, and a squad car goes into a hood, and they're throwing cans at them and blaring with bullhorns. Oh, you pigs, get out of here, you pigs. They're not afraid of the cops.
No,
not nobody's afraid of the cops.
No.
It's a lie.
Lydia, great job here, as always.
Thank you. Here's an idea, just an idea I'm throwing out there. If you attack a postal worker, you have to spend at least, and you're found guilty, at least 6 months behind bars. That's like the minimum, 6 months. So why don't they have some sort of civil penalty if you, say, attack a police officer, or if you attack any of their patrol car, like a police station, there should be stiffer penalties.
You just answered your own question.
No, it's easy.
They think the cops are the bad guys.
No, the answer is you would be racist.
Right.
If you're for that particular.
But why is there a stiffer penalty against attacking the mailman versus a police officer?
Again, because mailmen are not out there killing black people
every
day.
That's not racist.
I mean, call you, wake up.
No, you make,
wake
up. You make a good point.
It's a good idea, right? It's a good idea. And I also have an idea that all of these news stations that publish fake news, like a fake report like they did, remember, about Rudy Giuliani, you know how they issue that little retraction and then, oh, they're fine. They should get a fine. Like, if I curse right now on the radio, there would be this huge fine by the FCC. Why don't the news organizations, when they print out these fake news articles that they're doing so often now, especially CNN or anything like that, that they get hit with like a huge fine? And then maybe they think twice about using their unreliable anonymous sources.
All right. Well, maybe we'll present it. It's a good idea. We'll see what happens.
There you go.
Maybe Prince Harry is right. The First Amendment is bonkers.
You can follow Lydia on Instagram at Lydia News 1, on Twitter at Lydia News. Check her out at 4 o'clock this afternoon, and then sitting alongside John Catsimatidis coming up at 5.
Our boy Joe Nolan with traffic. He's up next. Sid with sports, of course. But right now, it's time for the 77 WABC clip of the day. It is the Cats Roundtable. Sunday mornings at 8:30. John Katz, Mr. Katz, he speaks with Mike Pompeo, former CIA director and former Secretary of State, I might point out. We would add that to this copy. Mike Pompeo talks about what's happening with Israel, Iran, and Palestine.
Who's paying for all these missiles that are landing on Israel? Tell us, what's your thoughts?
So you have terrorists that are in the Gaza Strip now firing hundreds of rockets into Tel Aviv and into cities all across Israel, trying to kill innocent Israeli civilians, all with the ultimate mission of destroying the rightful Jewish homeland in Israel. The resources don't exist in Gaza. The money is coming largely from the Islamic Republic of Iran. These are Iranian proxy forces. So the Iranians have made clear that they have genocidal intent, and they use proxy forces, people like the Palestinian Islamic Jihad and Hamas. The Israelis must defend themselves. They're going to do that. I'm confident we need to support them. While the Iranians are writing checks to Hamas that is then firing missiles into Israel, the United States is negotiating with that same Iran to give them billions of dollars, and then again started up funding the Palestinians through UNRWA, a UN organization. This makes the United States in a very awkward position of using U.S. taxpayer resources to support organizations that are terrorizing Israel.
The Katz Roundtable, Sunday mornings at 8:30. Mr. Katz gets the quality guests.
O'Halloran telling me today's the anniversary of David Wells' perfect game for the Yanks. Good old David Wells. Talking about New York athletes, we got one on the phone right now. Love this guy. Between 1988 and 2001, he distinguished himself as one of the most favorite New York athletes ever. I really believe that. One of the most favorite New York Knickerbocker players ever, for sure. Slam dunking over Michael Jordan.
You said that when we had Charles Oakley on.
I did say that. You're right.
Come on.
Damn it. He did slam dunk over Olajuwon and Jordan and all the guys. He's become a very close personal friend of me, Bernie, and just about every New Yorker. He still works for the Knick organization. He's a terrific guy, and what an exciting player he was. The great John Starks. Good morning, John.
Johnny.
How are you, pal?
Hey, good morning, Sid. How you guys doing?
It's great to have you on this morning. It's, you know, a lot of rough stuff going on in this city. You're aware of it. You live here. You work here. You know it. So when something like this happens and Knicks make the playoffs, it's such a huge boost for our city, Madison Square Garden. It's just something to be happy about. I know you still work for the organization. You got to be thrilled today.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. You know, this is an incredible team. You know, Tibbs has done obviously a great job, and in the way he coached this year, and really creating an identity for this team. You know, every night that they go out, you know, you could see the intensity, especially on the defensive end of the court. And, you know, me being a former player and, you know, having Tibbs, who was on the coaching staff back then, knew that he was going to create this atmosphere. And it's great to see that all these guys have bought into it. And the way they playing is just incredible. You know, you can't help but be excited about, you know, this postseason and what this team can do in the, during the playoffs.
They really exceeded all expectations. Former Knick great John Starks on the Bernie and Sid Show on 77 WABC. What do you say, John Starks, to all those faithless New York Knicks fans who abandoned the Knicks only to jump on the Brooklyn Nets bandwagon, and now they're running back yeah. back onto the Knicks? I feel dizzy right now.
Yeah, you know, well, they wasn't loyal fans anyway. That's how I look at it. You know, because I know fans that are, you know, live in other areas and, you know, have other professional sports teams within their area, but they say they would never, never, ever flip on the Knicks. And you know, and those type of fans that we want to be a part of this. And, you know, it's just, like I say, we have done a terrific job this year. The coaching staff, the players, the organization, everybody has done a terrific job this year of believing that we can, you know, get to this point. And, you know, it's great to see that, you know, the way that we're going about it in the right way, and that we have players that's going out there and just really laying their hearts on the line every single night. Remind me of the teams back in the 90s. That's what they truly do.
Yep.
And just watching them just go out there and fight and scratch and claw and just get wins after win, and it's great to see.
John Starks, who is a good friend of this Red Apple family, by the way. John is friends with John Catsimatidis, Todd Shapiro. The whole crew here shows up at all of our events. We appreciate that, John. You know,
you're welcome.
Those 90s teams that you talked about, you and Anthony Mason and Charles Oakley and Derek Harper, all those great players. But you did have a legitimate mega superstar in Patrick Ewing, of course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This team right now has one guy who's on his way to becoming a really big star. Went to the All-Star game this year. It's basically a double-double every night. Had the triple-double yesterday. That's Julius Randle. To watch how this guy has matured into one of the best players in the NBA, for a Knick fan, that's been really exciting, John.
Man, it's been amazing to watch his growth. And, you know, I saw it when he first came out, when he was with the Lakers, and you can see that he had that ability when he was there. Unfortunately, he got hurt, obviously, in his first game, so people really couldn't really get to see him. But when he got to New Orleans, you start to see it come out. Then when he got here, you know, had a pretty good year last year, but this year up underneath Tibbs, he's showing what type of player he truly is. He's a superstar. And you can see the confidence that he has inside of him, and he makes people better around him, and that's a mark of a great player. And it's great to see, you know what I mean, because he has took a huge step this year in becoming that type of player that he know he could be.
Speaking of superstars, former New York Knick great John Starks on the Bernie and Sid Show. Hey, John, what do you make of the effect that I watched the UFC over the weekend for the second time? They had a full down at the Toyota Center Arena in Houston. Full house, full all fans cheering wildly. Mm-hmm. Barbarians that they were, but whatever. Either way, it was great. And what effect do you think the crowds actually have on the players these days? Now that they're allowed to a limited capacity, they're allowed back into the arenas.
It has a huge effect. You know, just having that energy and just having people cheering for you, you know, makes a big difference. And you know, you could see it in certain times when the fans wasn't there, you just didn't feel that energy that's normally in the arena. But, you know, I was at the Toronto game, and I think we had maybe about 2,500, maybe a little bit more, but you thought it was like 10,000 in there.
Right.
It was just amazing, you know, just to have that you know, people voices in there cheering, and mm-hmm. it just makes a huge difference in the way you go out there and play. And crowds can, you know, I fed off the crowd when I played, you know what I mean? And it makes a huge difference.
Last one, the Knicks will take on the Hawks, and the Hawks are a very talented basketball team. Trae Young, one of the better guard scorers in the NBA, so this ain't going to be no walk in the park beating the Atlanta Hawks. But if they do get past Atlanta, Bernie brought up all these Knick bands that went over and became Brooklyn Net bands with their big three, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and James Harden. Let me tell you something, John, you know this. The last thing the Brooklyn Nets want is your New York Knicks. They don't want them. They don't want them because they'll lunch pail you with Randall and Barrett and Rose and Bullock. They'll lunch pail them to death. You know that's going to happen.
That's going to be, if we get to that point, hopefully it gets to that point. It would be exciting just for the city itself to see two teams competing. And, you know, I know we're excited about it, you know, but we have to take care of business first and get past Atlanta. You know, Atlanta is no easy team to get past. They have a very talented squad, even though we 3-0 against them this year. But, you know, when the playoffs come, you know, you have to throw that out the window and you have to get refocused. We should win. We come out there and play with the focus, which I know they're going to play with, and do all the little things that it takes in order to win these type of games in the playoffs. Because this team has what it takes in order to move through this playoff. So I'm excited. I think New York fans are excited. I have a bunch of Knicks fans that's trying to call me, get tickets, playoff tickets already. I say, I can't help. So, but it's an exciting time in the city. And, you know, down there we're excited that playoffs is going to, you know, happen at Madison Square Garden. You know, we're excited about that.
The neighborhood could use it, definitely.
No doubt. Hey, listen, John, you're a super ambassador for the Knicks, for the NBA. As great as a player as you were, and you were great, you're even a better guy here off the court after your career. So thank you so much for hopping on today, and good luck in the first round. We'll talk when you get past the Hawks. How does that sound?
Yes, that sounds great. All right, see you. All right, y'all take care, bro.
Take care, John. There he is, the great John Starks, Knicks and Hawks. About to come to a television and a Madison Square Garden near you.
So that's the way it goes, Sid. If they get past Atlanta, they will face the Nets, provided the Nets win this first round as well.
That wouldn't be the second round. It would be, another round, right? Or the Nets are the 2 seed. They're going to play the winner of Boston, Washington. I think it would be 2 more rounds. They would have to play the Nets. Yeah, I think 2 more rounds.
So. Imagine that, though. A basketball subway series.
Yeah.
The city really could use that.
That'd be good.
That would be terrific. And again, as I mentioned on the way out, the neighborhood, the Penn Station neighborhood, is really the most impacted, in my opinion, neighborhood, the most depressed since the pandemic.
I agree.
Having you and I spent many, many, many months there since the pandemic. We left in the middle of summer last summer, but it could really use a Knicks playoff run right now. I mean, it would revitalize that neighborhood. It would help to revitalize it in a huge way.
Especially now, like the Flying Puck went out of business. I don't know about Mustang Sally's and all those, but especially now with no more curfews, restaurants and bars,
right. You
can go to a Knick game and drink till 3 o'clock in the morning.
Let's do this.
So you hop on the 1, the 2, or the 3, right from Penn Station, the Knick game, right to Atlantic Avenue, the Net game. I mean, the city's going to be alive.
Just bring your mace. And you'll be all right.
You may want a gun. I don't know about the mace. You may want a gun. But, hey, it'll be worth it. Knicks and Nets. Maybe somewhere down the road. Still lots more to do. Andrew Gutman, of course, beat Bernie, brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. And one more look at last night's sports scene. More of Bernie and Sid right after this. Bang! Good tune, Springsteen. I was watching the preview next Tuesday night, May 25th, the Mike Tyson show. There's a whole 2-hour special on Mike. It looks like it's going to be amazing.
I will watch anything involving and regarding Mike Tyson.
Of course. Love Mike.
Anything.
So this is on next Tuesday night. Don't forget May 25th. But they made a point, which is a pretty good one, that at one point during Tyson's career, 3 of the most powerful men in the world were all black. Mike Tyson, Michael Jordan, and Michael Jackson.
I want to eat his children.
Hey, don't forget Leroy Nicky Barnes.
Who could forget that?
Make it 4.
That's true. That all the heroin in the Bronx. Can't argue that. We got a big 9 o'clock hour coming your way. Andrew Gutman and Beat Bernie. Keep it right here on a Monday.
You know, I wrote on yesterday, which was in the New York Post,
We need parents to speak up. I think we're at the very, very beginning stages of this. This is a huge fight, but we need people to speak up. But it's hard because there's this pervasive fear of speaking up on this issue, this cancel culture. And until we sort of solve the cancel culture issue, we're not going to solve the education issue, this critical race theory. So we need some CEOs, business leaders to not cower to the social media mob. We need some courageous ones to speak up and say, look, we're not going to cancel our employees for speaking up for their kids' education.
Is the right thing to do?
Love that guy. Love him. I'm going to do the same thing coming up with my son's school, Upper West Side. I'm not going to say the name of the school because you psychos will be standing outside with my autograph. But he goes to a school in the Upper West Side. They teach him the same nonsense, critical race theory, and whites are bad, and indigenous people, and all that crap. And by the way, it's a six-figure course for that school. It's a lot of money. So don't do me any favors. With that said, here he is, the man you just heard. And if more parents spoke out like him, maybe, not for sure, but maybe there'd be a difference. Andrew Guttman. Andrew, welcome to the Bernie and Sid Show, my friend. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me on.
It's great to have you. So your daughter, 12 years old. My son is also 12. She's in the sixth grade, just like my son Gabriel, also sixth grade, about to go to seventh grade. And I deal with that nonsense every day at his Upper West Side school. Bernie egged me on last week. He said, go to the next meeting and let him have it. And I may just do that like you did. So you did it. And where has that gotten you?
Yeah. Well, it's gotten a lot of attention. What it's done at the school remains to be seen. There's been, you know, it's been polarizing at my daughter's school. We've gotten a lot of support privately, and there's a lot of conversations, a lot of letters going around, a lot of people talking to the administration and the board of trustees. So what happens at my daughter's school, I don't know, but it's, my letter seems to have ignited somewhat of a national conversation on this issue. Which I think is a very, very good thing, because we need to solve this issue. This is an enormous issue facing this country, and it is everywhere. It is not just, as I thought originally, in New York City schools. This is in schools all across the country and beyond schools. So we need to be talking about this, and we absolutely need parents to speak up and fight back, and I certainly encourage you to do so.
Andrew Guttman on the Bernie and Sid Show. Andrew will be pulling his daughter out of the Brearley School because of their teaching of racism, essentially, in the school. It's called critical race theory, but it's racism, pure and simple. And to your point, they just fired the commander of the Space Force. They just got rid of him because he wrote a book criticizing critical race theory in the military. So, yes, it's in the military. It's in corporations. And we know it's been in academia. And now K through 12 all across the country. And you spoke up about it. And, again, you know, this is really has its roots in Marxism and that type of thing. The Communist Chinese Party has pulled this crap. And it's about dividing people along, not class lines in this case, which Marx and Lenin and Mao did, but along the lines of racism is what they're doing, essentially. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, this, even if it's well-meaning, and I don't think it is, it's incredibly divisive. It's counterproductive, and it's causing enormous problems in this country, and we have to stop it.
You know, I'm curious. The parents, obviously, Andrew, you and me and Bernie, we know what's going on. Now, my son, again, same exact age as your daughter, and he's been going to these Upper West Side schools for a while now, and he started believing some of this stuff, you know, hated Trump and believed that black people were being, you know, racist. Every day they're in trouble, blah, blah, blah. But I got to tell you, with not a lot of provocation by me, because I kept getting into trouble at home, Andrew. I don't know about you. I shut my mouth. But he has gone the other way now. And now he comes home and says, I don't like that. Has that been the case with your daughter?
Well, I've been very lucky because she and I have had conversations since she was little. We talk a lot about history as something that the schools do really, really poorly. Right. And eradicating really a lot of history in the curriculum. But we've been very lucky, and she knows what's going on. In fact, there's a funny story. She called me. I was at work one day. She said, Dad, you're going to be mad at me. I said, why? She said, well, you know, we had one of these weekly diversity meetings. I got called on. And you know what? I just told them what they wanted to hear. And I said, no, that's okay. Sometimes you got to do that. That's fine.
Right.
But so she's very aware of what's going on. But there's no question. Look, this is starting in kindergarten with this indoctrination and this, you know, demonizing kids for the color of their skin and dividing everything into victims and oppressors. So this is happening, you know, with 5-year-olds. But
you're definitely seeing at the middle school level, and especially at the high school, the upper school level, these kids getting indoctrinated. And I've heard from, I have about 3,000 emails from people all across the country. And a lot of them are saying, you know, my kids in high school, in college, or shortly after college, you know, they're turning on their parents. This is something out of, you know, the Chinese Cultural Revolution, where they're saying, hey, how could you have raised me in such a racist household? Yeah. And the parents don't know what to say about
I got that,
that
from my daughter, Ava. She actually called me a racist one day, and she's the best, most lovely sweetheart. Love her to death. I die for her today, but she actually called me that once, based on what you're talking about.
This is really scary. That kids, you know, are really turning on their parents. They're being taught. I mean, we're the only country now in the world that is teaching our kids to hate our own country and hate our history. That's not going to end well.
No, it's not. And in any rational person's view, Andrew Guttman on the Bernie and Sid show. So if you're white, you're automatically racist. As you point out, no matter if you're 6 years old, 16, 26, whatever it is, you're just automatically a racist. Shut up. And if you're black, you're a victim. You're a victim. You cannot make it in this country. So you better have a chip on your shoulder. And that teaches kids not to try. That's poison. That's garbage. We should be teaching kids to be victors, not victims.
Yeah, look, we've completely gone away from the ideals of Martin Luther King.
Right.
Which is, you know, judge me on the content of my character, not by the color of my skin. I'm not the only one saying that. We have to get back to that.
We no doubt do. And look, you've teamed up with this this gentleman who was similar to you. He was a math teacher at the Grace Church School. And he pointed out the critical race theory going on in that place, this obnoxious, this pernicious critical race theory. And he actually recorded a teacher, and we played it on the air, and I know you've heard it because you've teamed up with the guy, where the teacher, the principal actually agreed that, yes, we're demonizing white kids, but what am I going to do? I have to go along with it. You get a lot of that. Do you get any of that from some of the teachers? And what are you doing with Paul Rossi to end this nonsense, this madness?
Well, Paul and I had dinner the other night, actually, but because we're sort of traveling on the same circuits and meeting the same people. Now, I think what he did was a lot more courageous than what I did because, you know, he risked his job and ultimately, you know, had lost his job because of it. You know, I was able to send the letter because I wasn't cancelable professionally. So I think what he did is, you know, a lot more courageous than what I did. But we need everybody speaking out. We need teachers to speak out. And there are a lot of teachers in these schools that are very uncomfortable with what they're being required to teach the kids. But, you know, if they got to put food on the table, they don't want to lose their jobs. And that's why I said in the clip that I think you played, you know, before I came on, that we need to solve the cancel culture issue.
Yeah.
So people are not fearful of speaking up, and that's parents, and that's teachers, and that's administrators, and that's CEOs, and that's really everybody.
Yeah, because the teachers will get fired. They will get fired. There's no question about it, and that's not fair either. So on the way out, what are your plans? You're taking your 12-year-old daughter out of that school? Are you staying in New York? Are you going to Miami? Have you found another? What are you doing?
That's a good question. We have a lot of people say come down to Florida. The original plan was we're going to try some sort of homeschool, maybe get some retired college professors or teachers to teach.
Yeah, but again, you don't want to have your kid in a situation where she can't socialize because that also becomes an issue.
That is exactly true. But we've had a lot of schools reach out to us now, and we might try to start a school. There's a lot of things going on. I think we'll be in New York City. I think we'll thought about Florida, but I think we're going to be in New York City. What she does for school, I don't know. We're going to figure that out. My wife's a little more stressed about that than I am. But, you know, we'll figure it out.
I'll tell you what. I know you're Jewish, Andrew. Will you send him to Catholic school? That's the answer.
Well, you can do that.
Right now.
Or yeshiva.
Or yeshiva. You know, you're right. Exactly right.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I've heard from people all across the country that says this stuff is even seeping into the Catholic and the Jewish schools.
I will tell you this. My son goes to a school that was started by an everyday guy. He's a super guy. Now the school, again, has gone crazy, like every other school. Yeah. But he started the school. So if you ever want to do something like that, let us know, Bernie and I, and we'll help you raise some funds and teach our kids right. How about that?
That sounds good.
Hey, listen, Andrew, one last question from me. The part of the dogma from this new sort of religion of critical race theory is that we need to have a conversation about race. But if you have an honest conversation, they call you a racist. I mean, there's a reason why black kids cannot pass the specialized test to get into these great high schools in New York City. Not that they're incapable, but there's some cultural reason or some maybe the schools stink or whatever it is. But we can't have that conversation. They don't want to have that conversation. Are you as willing to go are you willing to go that far to talk about the real conversation that we should be having?
We have to have that conversation. Look, democracy doesn't work if we can't have conversations on difficult issues. And this side of critical race theory has said, you know, the minute you say something, you're a racist. And it completely shuts down the conversation. We have to be able to have these conversations. Yeah, no one should be bullied into, you know, not speaking up about this. And, yes, we have to have them.
Yeah. All right, Andrew. Well, excellent job. You're a terrific parent. And I hope a lot of parents are inspired by what you did. And if, in fact, I do what you do, I'll send you the tapes, okay?
Okay, sounds good. Thanks for having me on.
All right, Andrew.
Good
take
luck.
Care. Coming up next, you know, we had this competition online last week. This is National Nurses Month. Bernie and I, as well as the whole station, spent an entire day devoted to talking to some of these very brave and courageous nurses. Then we had this, this competition online, the Nurse of the Month, that we're sending to Florida. We're sending this nurse to Palm Beach, Florida. Well, we've got a winner. We've got a winner. And that nurse will join us on Bernie and Sid next. Hall & Oates.
I like this.
9:25, Monday morning, gorgeous day, going to be 76 and sunny as we inch closer to Memorial Day in the summer of 2021. As I mentioned last segment, Bernie and I took a whole day, the whole station did really, devoted it to the nurses, National Nurses Month. We spoke to about nine on our show. Then we had this competition, send your favorite nurse to Florida on a trip paid for by us here at WABC, and we've got a winner. We've got a lady on her way to Florida winning the competition on WABCRadio.com. Her name is Chloe Schneider. She's from, I'm sorry, is it Schneider?
Schneier.
Schneier from Holy Name Hospital, Chloe Schneier. Again, she was one of these selfless heroes who worked the COVID ward at Holy Name in New Jersey. Holy Name was known as one of the New Jersey hospitals with the highest amount of cases. The hospital had to build a makeshift ward due to the high number of COVID patients there. She's a 25-year-old lady who worked endless hours serving the ill during this horrible time. Our hero, here she is, Chloe Schneier. Chloe, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys?
We're good.
We're great. Thank you, Chloe.
Congratulations on winning this and heading down to Florida. Let's start with that. How do you feel? You're going to Disney.
I am so excited. I'm so appreciative. Thank you so much.
No, all the gratitude goes to you, Chloe. Really, Holy Name Hospital in New Jersey. And again, as Sid mentioned, the highest cases, one of the hospitals with the highest cases. So you deserve it. You deserve it eminently. Tell us what you went through during the pandemic. It must have been hell on earth. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it was really difficult having a lot of patients have to be without their families during, you know, one of their hardest times. But I work with the best nurses, and we pulled through together, and things are looking a lot better lately. So that's really great.
Wait, you're only 25 years old?
I am.
Wow. So how long have you been doing this job?
I became a nurse on my 21st birthday.
Oh, my God. So 4 years in, you've been pressed. I mean, a lot of the ladies that we spoke to, for example, Chloe, Bernie and I, have been in the business for 18 years, 22 years, 30 years. You're not even 4 years in, and you're thrust into this emergency situation, and you did so well. Why do you think you were prepared for something like that?
Honestly, I think we just had such a good team, and they showed me the way, and everybody I worked with helped each other, and I had a lot of great mentors.
Now, what made you become a nurse in the first place? It is a noble profession, but it's a difficult, rigorous curriculum to become a nurse. It's easy to say, oh, I'm going to major in communications or some skate major. You decided to do something that would actually help people. But on the other hand, it also is a practical job. You will have a job, a good-paying job. But tell us what your motivation was.
My mom is actually a nurse at the same hospital.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So,
she cool. kind of coaxed me into it.
Wow, nice. That is very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
So who signed you up for the competition here at WABC? Who did that?
Oh, my most wonderful soon-to-be mother-in-law, Patricia. Hey, Pat. I love you so much. She listens to you guys all the time, and she signed me up, and I had no idea about the contest.
Well, you deserved it. Chloe Schneier from Holy Name Hospital in New Jersey. She wins the WABC National Nurses Prize, the trip to Florida, all expenses paid trip to Florida. And nobody deserves it better than a woman like you, 25 years old, Chloe Schneider from Holy Name Hospital. We congratulate you and wish you all the best, Chloe.
Thank you so much. Be well, guys.
You too. Have a good time down in Florida. We still have the WABC clip of the day coming up. I know we've got sports. We've got traffic. We've got Pete Burney brought to you by Pete Morgan and Peerless Boilers. So we got a lot going on still with only about 30 minutes to go.
Now, it's time to beat Bernie.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Sponsored by Peerless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters.
You think you can beat Bernie?
Good luck.
It's time to beat Bernie.
Well, let's do it. At stake, as always, a $100 gift card and a coffee mug. WABC, Barry House Coffee, the official morning coffee of Bernie and Sid. Guy is in Fairfield, Connecticut, a retired project manager on Wall Street. Good morning. Or is it Guy? Guy or Guy?
Guy. No, it's Guy, but I've been called Guy a lot, so he's the one I'm good with.
Okay. You're retired. How'd it go on Wall Street for you?
It was up and down. It's people tend to think of Wall Street as a good place to work. It's not. It's a very brutal, cold place to work. And investment banks are not good employers. They're not like Google, or they're not friendly and personal.
Right. I know that. People have this vision of like Michael Douglas before he got indicted, Gordon Gekko, money and broads and all that great stuff. And in the meantime, all you guys are drunk or high on cocaine because you want to kill yourselves every day.
Or somebody else.
All right, well, listen, I'm glad you're retired and you're happy and playing today's game. I wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
Here we go, Guy. Once known as...
I'll answer easy questions.
They look pretty easy, actually. You're going to do well today, I think. Once known as the most trusted man in America, who ended his tenure as anchor of the CBS Evening News...
Walter Cronkite.
Yes! The Pentagon was built in less than 16 months during what war?
It's going to be either World War II or the Korean War. I'm going to say the Korean War.
Wrong, the other one was right. You had it, 1941. One for two so far. One of the founding members of the Congressional Black Caucus, who represented Harlem in the House of Representatives from 1971 to 2017. It's been on the show many times.
Oh, God.
Been in studio with me.
I can picture his face. I've even seen him in a parade. And I can't remember his name.
Wrong, you took it back of that. Charlie Rangel is his name. Number four.
Yeah.
Who was the host of NBC's Meet the Press from 2008 until Chuck Todd took over in 2014? A frequent Imus guest, by the way. He's also the White House correspondent. Who?
Wrong, you two-legged back of that.
No, it was David Gregory in between Russert and Chuck Todd. Who was the only 19th century president to serve two complete terms with the same vice president, Daniel D. Tompkins?
Oh, God. I know Bertie will get this. I won't. I have no clue.
I wouldn't either.
Grant.
Go with that, James Monroe. All right, so you got... These were not easy. I thought they were much easier. You got one right. Yeah. That's okay. We'll put you on hold, and at the very least, you'll have a chance to talk to Menard. Guy, Fairfield, Connecticut. Boy, it's got to be gorgeous in Connecticut today. I mean, everywhere. It's gorgeous out today.
Yeah, so. It's beautiful. I thought these were pretty easy questions today. I know Bern will get them.
Yeah, Bernie's going to go, if I have to guess, I think 5 for 5.
Yeah, I think so, too. There's one that he might not get.
No, I think 5 for 5. All right, you got to get two right to win, okay?
Yes, sir.
But we both predict you're going to go 5 for 5. Once known, Bernie, as the most trusted man in America, who ended his tenure as anchor of the CBS Evening News in 1981?
Bill Ritter.
Yeah.
No, Walter Cronkite.
That's what he got. All right, the rest didn't go so well for our contestant today. The Pentagon was built in less than 16 months during what war?
That would be the big WW2 there, huh?
Right, construction broke ground on September 11th. 1941, of all dates. One of the founding members of the Congressional Black Caucus, who represented Harlem in the House of Representatives from 1971 all the way to 2017. Good buddy
of ours. If I said Adam Clayton Powell Jr., that would be incorrect.
Right, but close.
But it would be actually a man who entered our studios twice.
Yes, he loves us.
Wears a bow tie, very dapper, still alive. His name is Charlie Rangel.
That's correct. Who was the host of NBC's Meet the Press from 2008 until Chuck Todd took over in 2014?
One of the biggest fake news weasels ever to put on a tie. David Gregory.
He was so good at I Miss Too. Who was the only 19th century president to serve two complete terms with the same vice president, Daniel D. Tompkins?
Daniel D. Tompkins.
That's right.
Well, it was either Jackson or Grant.
Okay, you're wrong. All right, it was James Monroe.
Wrong, you're back.
Still an easy right. win for Bernard today. Final score of 4-1. Bernie, say hello to Guy in Fairfield, Connecticut.
What's up, Guy?
Hi, Bernie. Thanks for kicking my butt. It was enjoyable.
Well, listen, I don't even feel tired. It wasn't a fair fight, but thanks for trying. Fairfield, Connecticut. Let me say something. Your Democrat governor did a great, great job during this pandemic, don't you think?
Well, it could have been worse. He was better than your governor.
I mean, that's a low bar, but he was almost a red state type governor during this whole thing. Everything is wide open.
Actually, our guy was pretty good. We were mostly open pretty early. It was livable up here compared to New York, where it was kind of horrible.
And having said that, you being from the nutcake state, you have two of the creepiest senators in the whole state.
No, we had the worst.
Murphy and what the hell's his name?
Danang
Dick Blumenthal. Yeah, just the absolute scum of the earth.
Right you are.
Okay, I'm glad you agree. And don't take issue with me hammering your home state, which is a beautiful place. I would actually love to live in Connecticut. And Fairfield is a nice, nice place. So, listen, we thank you, Guy, very much. Were you named after Guy Mitchell by any chance?
No, I mean, I was born in 1954, and Guy was apparently a semi-popular name back then. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah.
The only Guy Lombardo is the only one that was maybe famous.
Well, that's a really big one, Auld Lang Syne, Guy Lombardo. That's a big one. But, again, if you're a Canadian, Guy Lafleur and some others. But you're not. Listen, great job today, Guy. Best of luck to you. Okay, pal?
Okay, thanks. Love your show.
All right, peace and love. 1-800-848-WABC. 1-800-848-9222. Been a great show. Three guests, a game, Lydia Reports, all that good stuff. We will close it out today as we do every weekday. On this beautiful Monday morning, your chance to talk to Bernie and Sid is next.
Beat Bernie, sponsored by Fearless Boilers and Pavilion Tankless Water Heaters on 77 WABC.
Well, this has been such a great show today. It's been fun. We did talk about the Knicks. Very excited. John Starks came on. He was really good. How good was John Starks?
He was great.
He was.
Let me just mention my indulgence, which is the UFC.
Oh, he had a big fight this weekend.
It was great. I bought it. It cost $70, but it was well worth it. It's a party.
No, but what was the big fight I saw?
It was Oliveira versus Chandler.
Yes.
And Oliveira won. It was great.
Chris Oliveira.
And by the way, there was one fight where you actually heard the guy. They did an arm ball. The guy snapped the guy's arm, broke his arm. You heard the snap.
I know.
Believe me, we could have all done that. But he had a full crowd in Houston. It was terrific. It was thrilling. Houston, Texas, full crowd.
Was Modi there?
Of screening people. Howdy, Modi. And there's one other thing. Joe Rogan, who I really like, he calls the fights. He wears all black. And now he's starting to get a little paunchy there, and he's bald.
He's fat.
He looks like
him.
I don't know if you remember this from the Addams Family. He looks like Uncle Fester.
Of course, I remember Uncle Fester.
Make America great again.
Hello, Modi.
Joe Uncle Fester Rogan.
He's always been in good shape, Joe. I mean, he did that show on TV.
Yeah, but now he's a busy guy.
He looks terrible. But I did see that, and there was a place in Brooklyn, and it was right next to 2001 Space Odyssey. That's where they filmed Saturday Night Fever. Big dance club in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And the place next to it was called the Crazy Country Club. And it was like a comedy place. But they did messed up stuff. Like they put tape recorders in the bathroom. So like girls would go in to go to the bathroom. They didn't know it. But they would play it on the loudspeaker inside the place, the toilet stuff. And they had a guy at the front door for like 30 years. And he looked exactly like Uncle Fester. That was his name, Uncle Fester.
Yeah.
Well, and he would make fun of you all night. That's all he did. Made fun of you.
That's my boy Joe Rogan.
Joe Rogan.
I don't mean to be hurtful or anything. I'm just I'm being descriptive, not pejorative.
He doesn't care.
Descriptive.
Yeah.
Don't even hear about it.
He can kill us. Go to WABCradio.com right now. Register for your chance to win a WABC Barry House coffee mug. Barry House Coffee is proud to be the official coffee of Bernie and Sid in the Morning on Talk Radio 77 WABC. Register now and good luck.
Just I wanted to say, a lot of the county executives are coming out and saying to Governor Cuomo, follow Biden's CDC rules, you idiots.
He's not going to.
You have the county executive, our friend Mark Molinaro upstate. I think, what is it, Ulster County? Where is he?
Is he in Ulster?
I believe that is correct. Ulster or Putnam.
Putnam, perhaps. Okay. And then you have Mike. County executive, who's a Democrat, Laura Curran, coming out in no uncertain terms, and she's been great on during the whole pandemic. Laura Curran telling Governor Cuomo, "Hey, bro, it's time.
He's not
stupid.
There's a
wake up.
There's a good column. I know you read this stuff, Bernard, but talking about that and how Andrew Cuomo it doesn't care, and it's in today's New York Post. It's in the op-ed section, and I read it. It was great. It's written by a guy named Robert Miller, and the title tells you all you need to know. Cuomo's refusal to take CDC's advice on masks shows his addiction to power.
That's life. Yep.
And
I read you stupid David Hogg's tweet. The mask is the MAGA hat for Team Blue, essentially what it boils down to.
Yeah.
They don't know how to express their superiority to you Neanderthals who don't wear a mask without this mask mandate. And speaking of Neanderthals, Chrissy Teigen just had her stuff pulled from Macy's.
Target.
First it was Target, now it's Macy's.
Oh, good, good, good.
And Bill Gates. Bill Gates is, well, it turns out he's a huge pervert.
All right. Banging some chicken Microsoft
for
years.
Not only Microsoft, but he was best buddies with Jeffrey Epstein.
Oh, but we knew that. That's why the wife got mad initially. That's why Melinda initially got pissed.
There was a bunch of stuff, and that was one of the reasons. And flew on the plane to Orgy Island, which the plane was built to have sex on. And Bill Clinton flew on it as well.
I know. Well, I was invited. I said no. Mike Sullivan checks in. Our dear buddy Sully. He says, crazy country club slogan. He's right about this. They had T-shirts all over Brooklyn many years ago. Warm beer, lousy food. That was the T-shirt. Warm beer, lousy food.
For
the Crazy Country Club. Uncle Fester.
Oh, warm beer, lousy food.
Doesn't that sound great?
Yeah. I'm in.
And we couldn't wait to go. We couldn't wait. Brian is in Brooklyn this morning. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, Sid, it's actually Brian Sullivan, right after the mention of Mike Sullivan.
That's so weird. This is Mike Sullivan's brother, spent 25 years as a cop in New York. Yes.
What's up, B?
That's weird. What's up, Brian?
Bernie, I've been dying to meet you. Sid, make that happen one day.
I will make it happen, I promise.
Congratulations. Do that. Congratulations, guys. Listen, make no doubt about it. You're the best radio show in New York, which you are. You are the best radio show in the country.
Thank you.
Listen,
you got that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. Thank you very much for that.
You say the right things every day, both of you. I want to make 3 points, I told your guy. First of all, great guest Gutman on the radio. That guy needs to be involved in politics, and he needs a lot of support. He's making an outstanding start to something. This stuff has to get squashed.
Yep.
Secondly, you asked last week, Sid, or you mentioned you didn't know if Eric Adams was there. No, he did jump on that defund the police bandwagon last year, pulled the tape, find one of your guys to get it. He said, oh, let's defund the police. No question about it. He's a pandering fool, Eric Adams.
Mm-hmm.
No good. And one last thing, you talked about the NYPD not being allowed to march in the parade. Bernie, you were great on it. I think you just missed one bang word. Plain and simple, it's discriminatory.
You're
the
right.
The thing that these people are, that's plain and simple. They don't want NYPD. That's discrimination, and this is what they supposedly stand for.
Right, exactly. We're talking about the gay pride parade. We won't allow gay cops to march in their parade.
And Bernie's defense, to your credit, you did actually say
I did say earlier, whatever happened to inclusion.
Right,
the St. Patrick's Day parade, they included the gays. And now these creeps are turning into the tyrannists that they purport to oppose.
So now you've spoken to three Sullivan brothers. Brian.
Wow.
Tom, who, of course, ran for office in Queens, and Mike.
Great guy.
There's seven boys
I want to thank Brian Sullivan for his service on the NYPD.
Yes. He's a great kid. Great kid. The whole family's terrific. We're done for today, though, folks. Enjoy your sunny Monday in New York City. Got a big show coming your way tomorrow, 6:30. So from all of us to all of you, until then, everybody. Yeah, yeah. Peace. Bring your bottle, wear your brackles. It'll soon be summertime, and we'll sing again. We go driving, or maybe we'll settle down. Shift some police traffic stops to unarmed civilian city workers. The case of that shooting is back in court today. Fox's Jeff Manasso has more live.
Today, former Brooklyn Center Police Officer Kim Potter making a court appearance for a motions hearing today in Minneapolis after the 26-year police veteran was charged with second-degree manslaughter following the shooting death in April of 20-year-old Dante Wright. Brooklyn Center Police say Potter mistook her taser for her gun when Wright resisted arrest over a warrant. She now faces up to 10 years in prison if convicted. Dave?
Jeff, many gas pumps remain empty in the southeast after that cyber attack that shut down deliveries.
The Colonial Pipeline was turned on Wednesday. Gas is flowing through it. The company says it's flowing through at normal rates.